Before we start, let's pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, come before you tonight. We're so thankful for this precious time we can spend in your presence. This has been amazing, oh God. Hearing our brethren pray, oh God, our hearts are warmed. Coming together as the company of your people, oh God, and just enjoying you, Lord. Enjoying praying to you, oh God. Just casting all our cares upon you, for you care for us, oh God. Let's pray, Lord, it might be with me, lead me and guide me. May it be clear when you lay it on my heart, oh God, and just pray that the precious saints will be blessed, Lord. So just pray for this. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So tonight, I'd like to speak about something our brethren have prayed about. The Lord has laid on my heart the last couple of weeks or more is His grace, and how in desperate need we are day by day on His grace. And if you want to turn with me to John 1, please. John 1 and verse 14. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Later on, verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So in the last little while, I can't get this out of my mind, how, and we all are very conscious of how we stand by grace before the Lord. The day when Christ saved us, how marvelous His grace was. And we think of how there in Ephesians 1, we read about how even our very standing before the Lord is based on His marvelous grace. We read how to the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So even our very acceptance before God, being in Christ, a tremendous standing that we have, is all by grace. And that's actually to the glory of God's grace. God just loves to lavish His grace upon us. And then we're all probably very familiar with the dispensations, and we think there of the five dispensations, at least five we read of, how we can find the scriptures for sure five, and Schofield has seven, and there probably is seven, but I know we can definitely make a conclusive argument that there's definitely five dispensations or a stewardship that God has given to mankind in relation to how He has dealt with them at a specific period of time in a specific way. And we come back to Genesis, and we'll find the dispensation of innocence. And then we come from Adam until Moses. Read there, I believe it's in Romans 5, from Adam until Moses. And it talks about how sin reigned from Adam until Moses. So there's a dispensation there. And we could call that the dispensation of the conscience. But then we come down to the law. And here we have, even when we open the scriptures, we'll find the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there alone, we can see that there's two dispensations. And we read here of two of them, that the law came by Moses. So God dealt with people under the law. And He showed man that they are completely lost before Him. That the law has really, in a sense, it is very good, but it has slain man. It has showed man that it has told man to do this and do that, thou shalt, but it did not give him the power to do it. But now we come to this wonderful period, and we think of how our dear brother Wayne Lord prayed about this, the day of grace. And brother Derek prayed about that we might grow in the knowledge in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of grace. This is the most marvelous day other than the kingdom. And we find ourselves here, dear brethren and sisters, in the day of grace. This is where grace reigns because of Christ. It was a hidden period in a sense in the Old Testament. But now Paul reveals his mystery in the New Testament, the day of the dispensation of grace. But then we come in Ephesians there, we read about the dispensation of the fullness of times. And that is the kingdom or the dispensation of righteousness. When the Lord Jesus Christ will reign, when he comes back after rapture and he sets up, or after the end of the tribulation, he sets up his kingdom. So that was the year reign of Christ. That's the dispensation of righteousness, or the dispensation of the kingdom. But right now we find ourselves in a day of grace. And this is just a small overview. And these are just the things that I enjoy personally the last little while. And I just really want to share this because this is very precious. And we're there at the job site. I think it was a week ago or more than a week ago. And his three brothers were talking. And Brother Mark brought out how he's been enjoying the seven titles or so of God that we can read about. The God of hope, the God of peace, the God of comfort, and so on. God of patience. But we all agreed without a shadow of a doubt that the God of all grace of 1 Peter 5, verse 10, is our favorite, especially when we recognize our sinfulness, our wickedness before the Lord. He is a God of all grace. But it's really, more than anything, is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, it seems like, really brings that in John 1. Now, I was very surprised to read about this, but in any of the other Gospels, the only time you read about grace is actually in Luke. And the grace of God was upon him. That's the narrative of Luke. And then grace of God was upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. And then we also read about how the gracious words came out of his mouth. But here we read in John, three times in chapter 1 of John, he talks about three verses. He talks about grace. Four times he mentions it right here in four verses. And he says here, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Now, this is very precious. Grace upon grace. It's like a ladder. That's what stood out to John. Because think about this. In the Old Testament, there was no one. It was a dark place. We think of how in Naphtali and Zebulun, in the coasts there, we read there in the Old Testament, how people sat in darkness because there was no hope. But how did grace come? When God showed up at the scene. The Lord Jesus Christ, God comes in, and the person of Christ comes. And then the number one predominant feature that John saw was grace. He did not say, "And of his fullness have all we received, and truth for truth." But truth is so precious because the truth is in Christ. We read about this. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We read it further in the epistles that the truth is in Jesus. But he says grace for grace. And isn't this so encouraging for us that we can have such a gracious person in the person of Christ? This is something that encourages my soul so much. And there's three different aspects of the Christian life that I enjoyed, of where how grace is so much needed. Not only were we saved by grace, and I want this to come across that I've enjoyed, God has blessed me with. Not only are we saved by grace, but we live by grace, moment by moment, day by day, we live by grace. It's not all of a sudden he saved us for religion. I remember growing up in Hutterite Colony, it was all about what we do and how we strive and how we do this and how we do that. But grace is utterly apart from that. Grace is something that he gives moment by moment, day by day. We'll have three different ways we're looking at it here. Come to 2 Corinthians 12. The Lord talks to Paul there. And now Paul, in the context here, I'll just read it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So here we have sufficient grace for the time. Now, dear brethren, and sisters, I'm not sure what you're going through tonight and how you're suffering, whatever it may be in the mind, in the body, whatever it may be, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know that his grace is sufficient for you. Now, Paul here, he seemingly in the start of the chapter, he talks about how he had visions and dreams, like he was up, the revelations of the Lord. The Lord gave him abundant revelations. And when Paul is so broken at this point, he doesn't even mention who it was. But later on, we get the sense that it was him when he says, I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. So he does talk about himself there. But there he was. He had the potential of becoming proud in the abundance of revelations. But the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, you know what, Paul? And he comes to the throne of grace, just like we did tonight. And he comes there, just like it says in Hebrews 4. And he comes to the Lord Jesus and he asks him three times to take that thorn in the flesh away. We're not sure what that thorn in the flesh was. It's not told. But it was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him, sent by the Lord even. It could have been sent by the Lord. But you know what the Lord does? He says to him, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take that away. I want you to experience my grace. And oftentimes, I've experienced this in my own life, in suffering, even in health or whatever it may be in the mind. You know, and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the words, through the Spirit, comes along and says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. You can go through this. And that's the God that we have. He's a God of relationship. Moment by moment, he wants to be in our lives. He did not just take it away from Paul and say, you know what? I'll take it away from you. And Paul might have forgotten or maybe might have been puffed up. But he experienced the grace of Christ. What is the grace there? It's power given by Christ, or in strength for the moment. He says there that my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, grace, is related to the strength of Christ and the power of Christ we rest upon him. That's the grace that God can give us in our suffering, dear brethren and sisters. Whatever you may be going through tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to know that his power and his strength will be with you. He wants to bear it with you. He wants to give you that living flow of grace. And now we come to, so that's grace in suffering. Grace in suffering. Sufficient grace. But now we come to 2 Timothy 2. And this really got me. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. This really got me started on this about 2.5 weeks ago. And I really never really read this verse, or never really, I've read it, but never really penetrated. It never really penetrated to my soul like it did. And when I read this, it was just really touched my soul. Thou therefore, now Paul is talking to his son in the faith. Read that in 1 Timothy 1, my son in the faith. So here he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So now, where is this grace found? And we found there in John 1 about the full of his fullness of all we received, what? Grace upon grace. It's in the person of Christ. And here he says to Timothy, Paul says he is obviously experienced at this point in grace and in experiencing this grace that only Christ can give for the moment. But now it's more in relation to service, because if he starts a chapter like this, but there's a lot to follow after this. If you read it in the context, he says, therefore, that you're going to go through a lot of afflictions and hardship. He says there about a soldier, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about all these things that Timothy would have to be able to bear. And also he talks about of athletics or an athlete there in verse 5. Six things afterwards. There's seven things in the chapter of he's a son, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer in verse 6. You go down to verse 15, he's a worker or a workman. Go to verse 21, he's a vessel. And then verse 24 is a servant. So there's seven things there that we find about what Timothy is and what we are. But how does he start this? There's things that are very intimidating in front of him. There's a lot of service. But he says, you know, he starts it like this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is where? It's in Christ Jesus. That's where you're going to be able to do all this service. He starts it off with the absolute core truth. You cannot do anything apart from Christ. Without his continual grace, in the flesh, you can't do nothing. In the flesh, there's nothing good in the flesh. But be strengthened, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the grace that comes from your union with Christ, your oneness with him. You're in Christ, and you are therefore completely, you have this great resource, this source of grace. So that's how we live in service for the Lord. In suffering, my grace, Christ's grace is sufficient. And here in service, it is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Be strengthened. Rest. Be strong moment by moment as you're going to endure hardships as a soldier, as you're going to be as an athlete running the race, or a farmer, or a worker, or a vessel, or a servant. You know, you need grace to do all these things. Rest there. Rest in the grace. Be strong in the grace, because you need strength. But it does not come from ourselves. It comes from the Lord Jesus. And we turn one more time here to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. We start there at verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So here now it's more grace in relation to Christian living or holiness or living the Christian life. We found there in 2 Corinthians grace, sufficient grace for suffering. And there in 2 Timothy, we found grace, strengthening grace for service. But now it's establishing grace, grace that we should be established in the Christian life. And that's why I said earlier, it's not that we go back to trying like we did before under the law and striving. But it's good that the heart be established with grace. That's how we live the Christian life. Now, the Hebrews, as we know, as we've gone through this, they were very much, there was a lot of law and wanting to go back to the temple and the ceremonies and the Jewish religion, if you will. But now we have Paul, or the writer to the Hebrews, saying, you know, be not carried about with any of these things, these different doctrines, these diverse or various and strange doctrines. Don't be carried about. Don't be moved back and forth anymore, because you be established in grace. Be conscious of your need of Christ, because it is something, a totally different law. It is not now anymore like the Old Testament, where you try to do things in the flesh, or even before we're saved in the old man, by saying, now, you know what? You need to live and be established by grace. Don't be moved from this anymore. Don't go back and forth. You need to have, a stream of grace. And you need to be established by this, that the Christian life can only be lived by grace, not by meats or abstaining from meats or all these things. As he says there in Colossians, touch not, taste not, handle not. None of those things. That does not do anything to the satisfying of the flesh, he says there. None of meats, all those things don't matter. They have nothing to do with the Christian life. But what matters is that grace is the way to live through grace, the grace that Christ gives. Through that way, it's the only way that we can live a life that's pleasing to God, a life that actually we can live holy, where we're set apart, where we're actually Christ-like. And we read how I've heard this argument in my life a lot of times, even from my dad. We explain to him that we're eternally secure, or we're standing by grace. And they think that, you know what, then you can just go live the way that you want. But that is so far from the truth. It's actually incredible, because in Romans 6, we read that grace shall not, or sin shall not have dominion over you. Because why? Because you're not under law, but you're under grace. That's why sin should not have dominion over you, because now we have the living Christ. And grace has everything to do with the living Christ, everything to do with him, to making our contact with him day by day, moment by moment, as we heard earlier, second by second, conscious of our need, our deep need of him. And if you've been like me and you've had your struggles in your Christian life of trying to live the Christian life in the flesh and all those things, that is not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live exactly the way we were saved. We came to him as a beggar, and we came to him with absolutely nothing, and we're still beggars, and we rely fully on his precious grace. And if we live in that way of continual faith in his grace, in the living, in our union with Christ, you know, we will have the living Christ living out his life in us, and sin shall not have dominion over us, and we shall be established by grace. Because what sin does, when we actually live under the law, what happens is the flesh comes up, and you know what happens? We have no power over sin. But through grace, the marvelous grace of our God, in the day of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us, and the writer here to the Hebrews, he wants them to be established by grace. Don't get moved from this. Stay there. This is where I want you to stay. So these are a few of the things that I've been enjoying. I see my time is done now. And there's one other thing I really enjoyed here. Just share him with you. And it's just really very precious hymn. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace taught my wandering feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet while pressing unto God. 'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the lame who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray and made my eyes overflow. 'Tis grace has kept me to this day and will not let me go. Oh, let that grace inspire my soul with strength divine. May all my powers to thee aspire and all my days be thine. Grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves a praise. Let's pray to the dear Lord. Father, we come before you. We're so thankful for your amazing grace. Father, we think of how we're standing in, accepted in the beloved, to the praise and the glory of your grace. Thank you so much, oh God, that grace has started. It has started our life of faith, and grace will lead us home. As we read of Brother Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, is grace that led me safe thus far, 'tis grace will lead me home. Our, we can all say this from the bottom of our hearts, oh God. We're so thankful this evening that you are the God of all grace, for your God who every day showers us with strength and power as we rely on you, oh God. We're so thankful that even if we don't sometimes relapse in faith, your grace is there to catch us and to lead us back to thyself. We're so thankful, oh God, for the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're so thankful for the sufficient grace that we never need to fear whatever comes upon us this week, this year, next year, years down the road, wherever long you tarry, oh God. We're so thankful that grace will keep us. For if it was not for your grace, oh God, we all of us would have fallen off a long time ago, oh God. We're so thankful, oh God, that we stand by grace in Christ. You love us. You love us so deeply, oh God, in Christ. You're so amazing, oh God. We praise your name. We praise your holy name. Thank you so much. We're so secure in your grace. For by grace we stand, oh God. Pray I might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need, oh God. We're desperate for this. And thank you so much that we have it. Pray, oh my, rely on you. Rely on this every day of our lives. And pray, oh my, bring forth praise and glory. You might become more like your precious Son, oh God. You might do, oh God, in us that which you have purposed for us, oh God. We rely on you for tonight. We come before you, oh God, and cast us upon you for the coming week. We need you, oh God. We're so thankful that we have you. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.